This is the Canadian Baseball Network Podcast in partnership with the Baseball Zone. Here's your host, Matt Betts.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Canadian Baseball Network Podcast. I'm your host, Matt Betts, and I'm joined here by my producer, Jackson Farrow.
Great to be here with you, Matt. You know, it's really exciting to get going on this podcast. It's been something that's been in the talks for a while, and obviously working with Canadian Baseball Network and the Baseball Zone, it's really exciting stuff, and I'm looking forward to telling some cool stories about Canadian baseball.
Absolutely. I'm sure a lot of people listening are wondering, you know, what is the Canadian Baseball Network podcast? Lots of podcasts out there, but we kind of found an opportunity here to tell Canadian baseball stories from grassroots all the way to the big league. So that's kind of what you can expect from us. We hope you enjoy it, and let's go.
Yeah, I mean, the biggest thing I think is just there's no podcast dedicated to covering and telling stories about Canadian baseball as a whole, right? You've got some podcasts that talk about the Blue Jays and stuff like that, but we want to go a step further, you know, talk about, you know, some stories about prospects or perhaps some, you know, historical elements. We're really going to try to fill that gap. And we're glad that you're with us on this journey. So we got a really exciting episode today, don't we, Matt?
We do. So our first guest, it's kind of fitting that our first guest on this podcast was the first Canadian selected in the 2021 MLB draft, Tyler Black. I'd like to introduce our first guest, the Canadian Baseball Network podcast, Tyler Black. Tyler, how's it going?
Good. How are you doing?
Good. So you were promoted mid-season, and you spent a lot of the end of your summer in North Carolina. How was Carolina treating you?
Oh, it was awesome. You know, I was down in Arizona for about a little more than a month. And, you know, I got my work in everything, but it was just tough because I was waiting for my work visa. So I was kind of kept out of action for a little bit, but just playing again, it was awesome. Love the team, love the coaching staff was awesome as well. So it's kind of my first experience of pro ball, and you know, absolutely loved every minute of it. So
yeah, so I really want to dive into your career kind of from the beginning, going back to high school. But before we do, what's next for you now that the minor league baseball season is kind of winding down?
So this year we're not having instructs. In the Brewers organization. So I think a lot of guys were expecting kind of something in the fall, but we just got word there's no instructs. So I just flew home actually last night. So I'm kind of just hanging out. I'm going to spend some time with my family and friends here for a little bit and then get back after it. But yeah, nothing on the docket till the spring. So
cool. No, that's awesome. So to jump back a little bit, some people may know, some people may not. Your dad is TSN sportscaster Rod Black. So I'm just curious, what kind of influence has he had on your career? Are there any experiences, you know, going back to your childhood that kind of really stick to you that you got to kind of tag along on?
Yeah. I mean, he had a huge impact just because I was exposed to many things that a lot of kids aren't exposed to at a very young age. You know, just as an example, kind of when he was doing the Blue Jay games, I'd always be around the field, and that's kind of where I fell in love with the game. But yeah, I mean, there's so many countless memories. One I can remember vividly is Aaron Hill when I was about 9 years old. Came up to me and was just, you know, my dad was working, and Aaron Hill came up to me and just kind of talked to me for about 20-30 minutes, just about everything, baseball life. And you know, a nine-year-old kid at that time was really inspirational for me, and really motivated me and kind of turned me on to the game for sure.
Is it safe to say that Aaron Hill was your favorite Blue Jay growing up?
Yeah, that's safe to say.
Yeah, that's amazing. So I kind of want to jump to your playing days in high school. So obviously you played for the Toronto Mets. How did you get hooked up with the Mets, and what kind of made that decision for you to join that program?
Yeah, I think I was about 15, 16 when I joined the Mets. And just the biggest thing for me is I played baseball for fun, and you know, I was good at it, but I kind of split the seasons. I play hockey all winter and then, you know, football in the fall, and baseball kind of took a back seat during that time. And in the summer, I'd play baseball with my buddies, and you know, it was a lot of fun. And obviously, I worked hard at it. But I think for me, it was just kind of came down to me wanting to go somewhere with baseball and really wanted to take it to the next level. And you know, the Mets are obviously one of the top programs in Canada. So for me, it was a no brainer. It's close to my house, and yeah, it was awesome.
Yeah. So kind of, how do you feel that the Mets kind of prepared you for the next level, which at that time was obviously university?
Yeah. It was awesome. You know, they really just kind of, with their alumni and everything coming back, I think that was big, just seeing how guys worked hard and, you know, approached their work. And then, you know, obviously just exposing me to kind of the top travel teams in both Canada and the U.S. Just playing better competition, facing better pitching. And, you know, obviously I think a big thing too is the access to their facility. You know, I think that's something that's really, it's not a huge focus, but it can really make a difference in a player's career. Just having access to facility pretty much, you know, whenever you want. I remember it'd be pretty much every day after school I'd go in there and hit. So that was just the biggest thing.
Yeah. Do you maintain any of those relationships with any of those coaches or former teammates?
Yeah. Yeah. I still talk to all my teammates pretty much. And you know, I talk to the coaches still. I still work out there here and there. So it's awesome.
Yeah. So obviously when you graduated from the Mets, you attended Wright State, which is a covering college baseball. It's a great baseball program, obviously, but it's not a typical, you know, power school, you know, the SEC, the ACC. So what kind of went into that decision for you, and what made Wright State the right fit?
Yeah. So honestly, like, I wasn't really a big time prospect or anything. And obviously I wanted to play at the D1 level. I thought I was capable. But I mean, I was kind of set on going to a junior college beginning of my senior year. And then I went down to Indianapolis to play. I think we played Butler University, and Rich Leach with the Mets kind of set me up with Wright State. They came to watch, and, you know, they really liked me. And the next weekend I visited there, and it wasn't shortly after when I committed. And yeah, man, they believed in me from the start. And, you know, I just love the program, love the culture, the history behind that program. They're always pumping out really, really talented baseball players, and, you know, they win a lot. So that was really important to me. And just the development side was big too. And yeah, it's just a bunch of guys that kind of flew under the radar and, you know, just love to win. So I love that about the program. And right away, I committed there.
Yeah, so an interesting tidbit for obviously Canadian baseball fans and Blue Jays fans. You got to play for the head coach at Wright State is Alex Sogard, the brother of Eric Sogard, who played for the Jays. Yes. What was that like, kind of playing for him? Did he have any stories about his brother, or did he reference his brother at all? You know, especially with you being a second baseman.
Yeah, his brother actually came back last fall, and it was awesome. He really helped me defensively. He was there for a couple days, so we couldn't do too much, but it was awesome. Just, you know, he kind of talked to us about what it's like being a professional baseball player, what you need to do, and, you know, just kind of the stuff that a lot of regular people don't notice. He was really good at sharing that. And
Alex
Sogard, our head coach, he was awesome for me my 3 years there. It's a funny story, actually. Jeff Mercer kind of was the coach I committed under, and when I got to campus, I hadn't even said a word to Sogard yet. So
it was just, he was awesome from day one. And, you know, they're going to win a lot of games in the near future.
Yeah, no, for sure. So I'm going to read you a couple of stats here. Obviously, 2019, you hit 348. And then in 2020, obviously only in 13 games, it dipped to 239. Obviously, a lot going into that with it only being 13 games. But what kind of was your mindset coming out of that 2020 season that was shortened, heading into another pandemic season, and it was going to look a lot different?
Yeah. For me, I think the 2020 season really, it didn't really go my way, obviously. And I know it was 13 games, but
I actually had a shoulder injury as well during that kind of stint. I got surgery in the off season. So for me, it was kind of just, I was really motivated to just, you know, prove myself this year. And, you know, for us as a team, really too, we had pretty much everyone come back. And I think that was big, just, you know, showing people who we are and obviously bouncing back from 2020.
Yeah, for sure. So obviously you bounce back in a big way, because in 2021, you hit 383, 13 home runs, 59 RBIs, and a 1.179 OPS. You were a D1 baseball All-American. So what mechanically maybe did you change, or was it just simply getting over that injury?
I think the injury just had so much to do with it. You know, it was my front shoulder and my swing. So anytime that's kind of affected the front shoulder, you see it so much with players today. I think it just plays a huge, huge role. And just, you know, just feeling healthy, getting my groove back was huge. But I mean, I made some minor swing changes, just trying to do more damage, more approach stuff, just, you know, getting in hitters counts, just kind of letting it rip a little bit, and knowing when to do that was big.
Yeah. So obviously a successful season again for Wright State in 2021, you went to the Knoxville Regional in Tennessee. What was that like? Obviously, in my opinion, Wright State was probably the best number four seed in the entire, in any regional. You're matched up against Tennessee and Duke, who are the top two seeds. What was that like playing those two teams in that atmosphere?
Oh, it was unbelievable. Obviously not the way we wanted to end, but, you know, I just remember showing up and, you know, not really expecting, didn't know what to expect being in a regional for the first time. And, you know, it was just crazy. I think there's 5,000, 6,000 people there. And the thing about Knoxville is they're right on top of you. So it was loud. And then obviously when we got walked off, it was crazy. It's really going to show a lot of these guys at Wright State there now. I think it's really going to help them in the future, that environment, obviously, and just that game and how close and how short we came up. It'll definitely help the program going forward, and I know it'll help the guys still playing. So it was a crazy atmosphere.
Yeah, no, that was, I remember watching on ESPN, it looked, you know, like crazy is the word, and they're pretty rowdy down there in Tennessee. So, but to jump back, you said you weren't a big prospect coming out of high school with the Mets. So at what point in time did you think that I have a possibility here to make, you know, potentially make a living out of this game?
I'd probably say after my freshman year, there's kind of a lot of buzz, and, you know, I had a really good year, and I kind of made a statement that, you know, I'm a really good player, obviously. But for me, honestly, I always believed it. Just even in my high school days when I wasn't getting, you know, the ton of attention, I always believed that, you know, if I worked, it all kind of worked out, and I guess it did.
Yeah. So obviously as you progress through your college years, at what point did it become, were you starting to think, I can go pretty high in the draft here? It's not just, you know, getting drafted. It's being a top pick.
Yeah. I'd probably say, just this last year in the fall, you know, you get a lot of guys coming up, and I wasn't really playing. I was meeting with a lot of teams, and then obviously you don't know how the draft is going to go, but, I just think for me, it was big. I wasn't really focused on it at all. My team was really close, great group of guys. And I think that really helped, just, you know,
playing for the guy beside you every day and just, you know, wanting to win for the program and the guy beside you.
And I think that really helped me just stay focused, stay in the present. And I think ultimately helped everyone in the end.
Yeah. So obviously it's a goal of so many players, just, you know, growing up in Canada and really anywhere to get drafted. Can you kind of take me through the last year or so and what that process actually entails?
Yeah. Just a lot of meetings, a lot of questionnaires, a lot of eye tests, that kind of stuff. I mean, they're investing in a player, right? So anything you can imagine, really.
But I mean, it was really cool for me personally, just kind of seeing it all come to fruition. And, you know, as draft day kind of got closer, I started really kind of shifting my focus to that as we were done there for a month. So just very exciting. Really exciting time for me, and loved every minute of it. So
yeah, so let's jump to draft night. Where were you with your family?
Yeah, I actually had quite a bit of people over. I think 20, 30 people, family, friends, just the whole crew. So once I heard my name called, it was crazy.
Yeah. So obviously I saw you in a mock draft, I think at 18 and 27, as those picks are kind of going, you know, what's going through your mind in the lead up to 33, not being selected yet?
Like I said before, I was really nervous just early on, just because, you never know what's going to happen with the draft. Luckily for me, I had my friends and family beside me, which was awesome. But kind of as the picks are rolling in, you get kind of more and more tense, I'd say. But around pick 25, I think my advisor called me, and I mean, all the Brewers were going to take me 33 if I was there. And, it was really cool.
Yeah. So obviously you find out that the Brewers will take you at 33 if you're there. What is that moment like when you're announced? Are you so accustomed to it at that point, talking to teams, or is it still like that thrill of a lifetime? Can't believe it.
Oh, it was crazy. It was just, it was everything you dream about. I don't think it really hit me until like a week after, when I was in Arizona, and I was just like, holy cow. Like you said, it's surreal. It's a dream come true. And yeah.
Yeah, for sure. So jumping ahead to this offseason, obviously your season's kind of come to an end. What does this offseason look like for Tyler Black? What do you want to work on and heading into 22? What kind of are your goals going forward?
Yeah, short term, honestly, man, I'm probably just going to rest for about 2-3 weeks here. It's just been such a hectic year, played so many innings. So kind of just give my body physically and mentally a rest. I think that's key. At first, and then obviously I'm going to get back after it. I think for me, it's just a big thing is, just staying sharp and continuing to build physically. I think this year kind of really, really physically demanding for me, which was great just because I played so many innings. Just building that back up and making the swing changes that I need to make are going to be huge for me going forward.
Yeah. So just to wrap up here, I have to ask you, what is it like, feeling like you kind of represent Canada, being a, 33rd overall, that's an extremely high pick for Canada. What does that mean for you and your family?
Oh, it's massive. Canadian baseball is kind of like a small circle. So, everyone, and it's just awesome. Representing not only myself, but the whole country. I'll continue to do that going forward. I just think it's baseball in Canada is growing, and anytime I can contribute to that, it's awesome.
Yeah, no, and it's amazing. We're obviously proud of you here, Canadian baseball followers. I just want to thank you so much for taking the time and good luck going forward. And I know Canadian baseball fans will be, following very closely.
Thanks a lot. Thanks for having me.
All right. Take care. All right. So that was a super interesting segment. A lot of great insight from Tyler there. It's a very intriguing story how he went from the Toronto Mets and how he mentions he's not, necessarily a top prospect coming out of high school. He makes his way to Wright State, plays for Eric Sogard's brother, Alex, and find himself as the 33rd overall pick in this year's draft.
You know, what I love too was obviously the influence of his father as a broadcaster as well. I thought that was a really cool sort of tidbit that he talked about and how it sort of gave him, a different perspective on sports. And I think also being a pro athlete, he's seen maybe a little bit behind the curtain that, some of his peers maybe haven't. And I think that's really cool. One thing that stuck out to me too, Matt, and I'm sure same with you, is the Aaron Hill story about how, he looks at this random 9-year-old kid at the time and has a great conversation with him about, life and baseball and stuff like that. That's what really stuck out to me.
Yeah, for sure. I think the guy just oozes confidence. Mm-hmm. You can tell the work ethic's off the charts. I've watched him play, and it's really impressive. He really is the heartbeat of that Wright State lineup, and it's not surprising that they were so successful during his tenure there.
And coming up next, we're going to have an interview with his coach way back with the Toronto Mets, Rich Leach. So looking forward to that one. We'll be with you there right after this.
Play ball.
This is Inside the Zone, powered by the Baseball Zone.
He's out.
All right, so we're now joined by someone who knows Tyler Black very well. He's a former college player who played at Lake Michigan College and then Salem International University. He's also coached at Salem and Davis and Elkins College. Now he wears many hats with the Toronto Mets elite program and is a familiar face around Ontario ballparks. He's a vice president and director of baseball operations, college placement coordinator, and manager of the Mets 17U team, Rich Leach. Rich, welcome to the show.
Hey, Matt, thanks for having me today. It's my pleasure to be here.
Now, so how's the fall going?
It's going well so far. I mean, we've got the guys going, obviously. Things were kind of compressed there in the summer. So getting our new group going just after Labor Day, it's always an exciting time of year. We got new kids and new things to learn. So it's been going good for a couple weeks, and we're looking forward to finishing off the fall strong and getting down. You know, we've made some arrangements to get down south with our 17 and 18 U group for college placement purposes. So we're looking forward to that right around Thanksgiving. So
yeah, finally.
Yeah.
Finally. So we spoke back in the fall about Tyler Black, and we just had him on. And I noticed something thinking back to that conversation is that you didn't mention much about his baseball skill. You talked about him as a person, his work ethic, his character. So tell us a little bit about who Tyler Black is from your experience.
Yeah, for us in the Mets program, and, you know, I'd love to be able to say that, you know, we got Tyler and he wasn't very good at anything, and we molded him into the player that he is today. But, you know, that's not the case. You know, obviously he's a very talented kid from a baseball perspective, but for me, you know, he checks off all the boxes from an intangible standpoint. So, I mean, for us in our program, he's the kind of guy that we can kind of point to with our younger players and say, look, there's no magic pill. It's get into the facility, get on the field, do your work, get in the weight room and kind of do, he does all the little things that we tell the kids every year that this is the stuff you need to be to be successful. And he did it, you know? So, I mean, there's been many a nights where he's been there when I got to the facility and he's there when I'm leaving and he's asking me to throw more BP and, you know, it's like, I got to go home at some point here, but For him, it's the work ethic is off the charts for Tyler. He did more than maybe any kid we've ever had come through the program. And, you know, there's kids that have worked, you know, very hard. You know, the Andy Yerges of the world, the Connor Panises of the world, you know, kids that have been very successful at, you know, in the professional level. And Tyler is no different from those guys. And he takes it to a whole nother level for sure.
Yeah. So at what point, I mean, and this may not have been even when he was with the Mets, but at what point did you realize he was special and had a chance to have a future in the game?
Well, I mean, very talented kid, did a lot of things really well. I mean, we always kind of joke when he first came into the program, we kind of joked that, you know, if he lived in the U.S., he'd be the kind of guy that lettered in three sports. You know, he'd be the all-state quarterback and he'd be the, you know, he'd be the all-state point guard and he'd be the all-state baseball player. So just tremendous physical gifts from a baseball perspective, for sure. I mean, he could run, he could throw. He was a very physical kid and tireless worker in the weight room. So we kind of knew, like, obviously, you know, being around the game in Ontario as long as I've been, there's been a lot of talented players, but, you know, as the years go on, you see some of them kind of fall by the wayside because there's a lot of work involved, and he was ready and willing to accept any challenge that we kind of threw at him and that kind of came his way. He kind of met with some adversity along the way and he rose to the occasion every time. And for me, as soon as we saw how prepared he was to do whatever it took, we knew that's when he was going to be kind of special for us.
Yeah, for sure. So I'm going to ask you to kind of put your scouts hat on. I know you've talked a little bit about the intangibles of Tyler Black, but from a, you know, a skill perspective, a mechanical perspective, whatever you want to call it, give me kind of a breakdown of who Tyler Black is.
Yeah. So Tyler, you know, he's a big physical kid. You know, he's 6'1", 6'2", well over 200 pounds, but he runs like a little guy. So that was kind of one of the first things that kind of caught our eye was where it's like, wow, this kid really moves for a bigger guy. And he's so tightly wound up that he generates so much power, so much bat speed out of his frame where it was kind of really impressive. And you know, he could throw the ball. I've seen him throw a football 50 yards in the air. So, Like he could do pretty much everything you asked of him. I mean, for me, athletically, I don't know if we've had anyone better come through the program, to be honest with you. And again, like I said, I can't stress this enough. His work ethic is what sets him apart from everyone. So probably for me, if you said like, what are his drawbacks? Like his biggest strengths are also his biggest drawbacks because he plays so hard. His motor is so strong that which a lot of kids where if they got a little dinged up, they'd say, I got to take a week or two off. And he's the kind of guy that will work through it. He'll play through pain. He'll do whatever it takes. And sometimes that, you know, maybe that doesn't do a lot of kids, you know, it does them a little bit of a disservice, but for him, he loves the competition. He loves to compete. So whether he's 100% or 80%, he's going to play through it and he's going to get it done. So for me, that kind of, you know, those guys don't come along very often. For sure.
Yeah, and I think, you know, watching him play, speaking to you, speaking to him, it's very clear that this is a kid, a guy that's Canadian baseball fans are really going to come to love as he works his way through. So obviously being with the Mets and being the college placement coordinator, what are some of the most important things when advising players on college placement? What's some of the advice that you give them to make sure that they're set up for success once they leave the program?
Yeah, good question. So one thing we always kind of preach to our guys, and we've been very successful over the past, you know, decade or so, sending kids off of school. And, you know, we always kind of pride ourselves in making sure we find the right fit for our guys. And Tyler is probably, when I talk to parents now, he's the glowing example of that. So we always tell kids, they all want to go to the SEC, the ACC. They always want to go to big schools and big conferences. And we tell them, you need to go to the place that will give you the best opportunity to play and be successful, both on the field and in the classroom. So that's what Wright State was for Tyler. So very high end mid-major school in Wright State. But I know if you ask the average person walking down the street, they probably wouldn't know exactly where it was. Maybe they've heard of it. Maybe they haven't. Where is that again? But we knew just from the community, from the baseball community, that was a perfect fit for him because they played the type of game that was conducive for Tyler. And that's no different from any of the other players we've had come through the program. We want to make sure we kind of get them in the schools that they're going to be, and they're going to have a chance to compete early on the field. They're going to be positive citizens, and then they're going to get their degree when they're done. So, for us, it's all about fit and all about finding the right school for the right kid. And that, to be honest with you, that's different with every single kid. And that's the majority of the conversations we have with players and parents is helping them understand what the right fit is for them.
Yeah, for sure. So as you kind of watch, obviously you're probably watching on draft night. What were your thoughts when 33 pops up? He said he had a phone call earlier saying the Brewers were going to take my 33 if it was available. What were you kind of thinking? Was the Mets organization thinking, you know, when he got selected?
Well, I mean, we kind of knew. I mean, you know, anyone who follows college baseball close in the U.S. knew Tyler had, you know, what they call helium. He had a lot of helium approaching the draft. He had a, you know, a couple of really big years. He had a really good showing at the regional with a lot of people in attendance. And we know from a, you know, the way the game is going from a metric standpoint, he checks off a lot of boxes for those guys as far as, you know, hitting high level competition, you know, in swing and miss percentage and bat speed and all that other stuff they look for, all the TrackMan data, he fit all those boxes. So we kind of knew, we had heard some rumors as high as possibly, you know, middle of the first round. I kind of got a feeling that he was kind of going to be, you know, towards the end of the first round and into the sandwich supplemental round. I had personally had conversations with probably a half dozen scouts that were, you know, doing their due diligence leading up to the draft, kind of calling me to kind of get a feel. They called myself, they called Ryan McBride. They wanted to kind of get a feel of who Tyler was as a person. So that's why I'm here today. I'm more than happy to talk about that because it's an easy story to tell. So, you know, I kind of thought the Braves might sneak in there. I know there was some interest from the Blue Jays side, and we kind of said, if it's not Atlanta, it might be Milwaukee. And before we kind of got that thought out, it was done. So I know his dad is like, I don't see enough of his dad on TV. I got to see his dad on TV again when that all went down. So, but yeah, it was a great moment. It was a great moment for for the family. I couldn't be happier for the kid. He sets the example for every kid that's going to come after him. Now it's the first rounder I've ever coached. So that's something I can, you know, lie to my buddies and take credit for. But I'd love to say it was all us, but it was all him. It was 100% him. And we're just ecstatic for the kid for sure.
So when you're taking those calls from scouts on that day, is it like a quick conversation? Is it, you know, more about his character or more about what are they asking? What are they looking for in that situation?
Yeah. So great question. So a lot of the times it's not really related to baseball, as we talked about earlier. So they want to know what kind of kid he is. What's his work ethic like? What's he like around his teammates? What's he like around his coaches? Because they've done all their due diligence from a scouting standpoint. So they know what he's like. They've seen him play on the field. I mean, when you're getting hits off guys like Kumar Rocker, that kind of, you know, it speaks pretty well for him as a talented baseball player, but they want to know what's he going to be like. And, you know, one thing we know from all the guys that have kind of gone before him is, you know, once you get into professional baseball, it's a job and you got to like going to the park all day long, every day. Some guys say they're going to like it, but they really don't know what they're getting themselves into. But again, when you got a guy that is there when you get there and there when you leave, and I know me personally, I'm in the facility pretty much more than anyone. So, and I see him there every time I'm there. So I know he's the kind of guy that will like, hey, what time do we get to do this again tomorrow? And that's kind of what they're looking for. They want to make sure that when you're talking about giving somebody, you know, multiple millions of dollars to kind of do this as a job, they want to make sure that they're totally invested in it. And they're going to be in it for the long haul. They're not just there to, you know, get a signing bonus and go buy a nice car and a bunch of gold chains. They want to make sure that he's there. He has goals that kind of align with the organization's goals. And I was more than happy to kind of let them know that that's exactly the case. And I think, you know, for me, I think he's just going to keep working his way until he gets there for sure.
Yeah. So speaking of that, like working his way up, as you watch Tyler's career progress straight from when he was with the Mets to Wright State and now into professional baseball, what are you most proud of as a coach? And also just as, I guess we could say, as a friend now that he's now graduated the program, he's now a professional baseball player.
Yeah, well, he's much bigger than me, so I don't really intimidate him anymore. But, I mean, Tyler's a great story because he was never – I would never say he was kind of seen as a big marquee guy coming through high school. I mean, there was guys that liked him and were interested in him. There's some pieces there that he might be a good player down the road. But, you know, a lot of times with kids these days and parents these days, they get kind of wrapped up in what are my rankings? What are other people saying about me? And he was never a guy that was super high up and he didn't have a lot of hype in high school. He was just a really solid player that knew he had to continue to work, continue to get better. So, you know, it was a kind of a funny story. His recruiting story is kind of one that'll go down in Toronto Mets history. It was, you know, every year we take our college trip and it was fall of 2017. We were heading down and we were playing at Butler University in Indianapolis. And I got a phone call from a friend of mine named Metzger, who is the assistant coach recruiting coordinator at Wright State. And he was actually calling about one of our 2019 grads. And I said, yeah, I think he might be a good fit for you. But I got this other guy I think you need to kind of take a look at. He's like, well, tell me a little bit about him. So I kind of filled him in. I said, you know, he's been a little banged up. He was hurt during some big events and nobody really saw him. And I said, I think you should come watch him. So he's like, okay, he'll make the drive down. So he drove down to Indianapolis, watched us work out, watched us play. And he said, how is this kid not committed? I said, I'm telling you, nobody's really seen him because he's been hurt a little bit. And so he said, well, we'll take a chance on him. So about two weeks into their fall season, I get a phone call from him and he goes, well, the only thing we're kind of worried about now is he going to be here for 3 years or four? Cause we're pretty sure he's going to get drafted pretty high after 3 years. I'm like, well, that's kind of how we think, but it all kind of played out. It kind of played out in his favor, right? Like he got in the school that was the right fit for him. And the rest is history. He still owes me a Wright State shirt. Both those guys. I think Metzger owes me a steak dinner after that one. Yeah, but
I would say so. I think Black might owe you a steak dinner too.
Yeah. So I mean, for me, the thing I'm most proud of is, you know, we deal with lots of parents every year. We tell them just trust the process. And you know, when it came right down to it, we talked to Rod and Nancy, Tyler's parents, and we said, we think this is a good fit for him. And Tyler's like, I agree. They trusted the process. And it really, I mean, I don't know if it could have worked out any better in the end, but it worked out pretty well at the moment. So, and you know, he's definitely carving his own path now for sure.
Yeah. And he spoke to that about not being, you know, a top prospect, so to speak, coming out of high school. And I think it's a great example for anyone listening and Canadian players listening that, you know, you don't necessarily have to be, you know, you can work into that, you know, by putting the work in, having the dedication, the commitment, obviously the skill as well, but kind of the person you are can really help shape how far you can go.
Yeah, that's a great point. So if you, I mean, if you go back and look over the years of Canadian kids that have gone, you know, that maybe weren't the highest end kids coming out of, or I'd say that, but it's a perception of someone else, right? So, you know, coming out of high school, finding the right school. So you look at a kid like, you know, Liam Hicks is a kid that came through our program that was kind of, you know, guys didn't really know much about, got in the right school. He's now playing professional baseball. You know, Jordan Marks out of the Great Lake Canadians program was kind of a under the radar guy. And now he went in the top 10 rounds this year. So the Canadians are going to be a little late to develop. We kind of know that, right? So just based on our climate and based on, you know, how we train up here, they're going to take a little more love, and you got to make sure you get them into a school where their coach kind of appreciates that and knows that there's a diamond in there, but you gotta wait till it gets there. So yeah, for sure. That's kind of the case with a lot of the Canadian kids. They need time, right? And that's why, like, as I said earlier, this, the finding the right school is the most important thing in my mind.
Absolutely. So Rich, I really appreciate you taking the time. I'm sure we'll see you around the ballpark soon. And again, I really appreciate you coming on and talking to Tyler, and he speaks very highly of you as well.
Well, I mean, he's a good baseball player. Maybe he's not such a great judge of character, but I got nothing. I have nothing but good things to say about Tyler, his family, and Matt. I appreciate you having me on. And yeah, I'd love to come back anytime.
Yeah, sure. Thank you so much. Yeah, so again, a big thanks to, you know, the man who wears, you know, many hats for the Toronto Mets, Rich Leach. Great episode today. Many firsts. It's the first podcast, the first pick, first Canadian selected. So very exciting stuff. And we're really looking forward to seeing where this podcast goes and future guests down the line.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think one thing for me too is just, it feels like everyone has such great things to say about Tyler. You know, it really came across with his coach there, Rich. He just couldn't stop talking about how the work ethic and sort of the dedication and how great of a person he is, never mind the ball player. And, you know, the craziest thing to me is that the story about Wright State and sort of the recruitment, how they had called about a different player. And then next thing you know, Tyler Black goes there and he's a first round pick. It's just crazy the way baseball works sometimes, isn't it, Matt?
Yeah. And I think something that listeners can take, you know, whether you're a young player coming up or a parent, that, you know, you don't have to be necessarily the all-star all the time. You can get to that point through your commitment, your work ethic. Obviously the skill needs to be there. And Tyler Black obviously had skill all the way growing up, but he kind of molded himself into the player that he is today.
Yeah, for sure. And it's going to be really exciting, obviously, to see him progress through the system. As we wrap up today's show, you know, we really appreciate you joining us. Matt, any last words here before we let the audience go here?
Yeah, it doesn't end here with this podcast. Head over to the CanadianBaseballNetwork.com to catch all your Canadian baseball news.
Thank you for listening. Be sure to check out Canadian Baseball Network for extensive and comprehensive coverage of the latest in Canadian baseball. And The Baseball Zone, Canada's leading instructional baseball academy and training home to thousands of MLB, pro, college, and youth baseball players.